Jesus symbolized his willingness to serve. And he told us that he only did and said what he had seen the Father do and say. And as his followers, we are asked to do the same. We are asked to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ, love in action, to be doers of the word and not only hearers. In our day-to-day lives, there are few people that we truly show unconditional love towards and that we receive unconditional love from, and they generally tend to be close family members. Most of us have probably got memories of somebody in the family performing a very generous act towards us. The unexpected gift, or someone offering to cook a meal for you, or to wash the car, or offering to pick you up at an inconvenient time of day or night. These acts of kindness. But Jesus was demonstrating so much more than an act of kindness, because love is more than that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's an attitude of the heart. And Jesus was demonstrating a selfless, loving act. The creator of the universe. This is something that is so incredible to believe. The creator of the universe knelt down on bended knee before his disciples, shrouded in humility, washing the feet of the disciples, those that he called friends. But even amongst our friends and close family members, there's always arguments and fallouts. Issues arise, minor disagreements that lead to long-term separations. As one person refuses to apologize, each individual believing that they are right, refusing to back down or lose face. And if these situations are not dealt with, they can very quickly fester and turn into a difficult situation to repair. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And in any situation where there are fallouts or arguments, people will always try and justify why they are right by telling other people about the so-called injustice that has been done towards them, and all the time harbouring unforgiveness towards those that have hurt them. Is this the love that Jesus spoke about? When we hold on to unforgiveness or bear grudges or hatred towards anyone, bitterness and hardness of heart become our close companions, and our hearts are the center of who we are. And in Luke 6:45, we can read that the good man brings good things out of good treasures of his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil treasure of his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You may well be contemplating now the condition of your own heart. We know that unforgiveness and hardness of heart are contrary to God's will, because the disciples asked Jesus how many times they should forgive someone. And in Matthew 18:21-22, Jesus said, "Keep forgiving, not 7 times, but 77 times. And often we struggle with just once. When someone has hurt us, our pride gets in the way, and we continue to believe that we are justified by being angry or upset with them. And Jesus makes it very clear when he says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift before the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there and first go and be reconciled." So not only are we to ask for forgiveness if we have caused the hurt, we are asked to seek reconciliation if we know that somebody has something against us. This is a huge act of humility and love. And we may be tempted to think that we're being asked to be a doormat, but this is far from the truth. God knows what is best for us, and he doesn't ask us to do things so that we are humiliated. He asks us to be humble because he knows it will benefit us. Holding on to unforgiveness and hatred is the opposite of love. Unforgiveness is detrimental to our health. It's well documented that negative emotions will be expressed in either physical or mental health conditions. And studies have shown that the act of forgiving can reap many health benefits, such as lowering your heart rate and reducing the risk of heart attack. Forgiving someone that's hurt you can help you to improve and lower your cholesterol levels and improve levels of sleep. Forgiving someone can reduce pain, levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. The physical impact on your health of being hurt or disappointed by somebody else is enormous, and we often overlook this. Forgiveness can overcome these things. Studies have shown that some people appear to be naturally more forgiving than other people are. And these people tend to be more satisfied with their lives. However, we all have a choice to make in these situations. And the difference is that some people choose to make that decision sooner than others. But why would you choose to hold on to unforgiveness, to hurt and anger and bitterness, when you've heard all those detrimental side effects? And that is why Jesus said, keep on forgiving. And I can give you multiple examples in my life of those people that have been the closest to me, how they've hurt. It's a choice that we have to make to forgive. There was a recent situation in my family where we were at my mum's as a big family and gathered round the dinner table in the evening, and my brother-in-law decided to get quite argumentative, and he said something about my mum, my sister and me, and I challenged him on his accusations, and this soon escalated into an argument. And arguing in this type of fashion is very, very typical for my brother-in-law, but it's not for me. And I knew that losing my temper and retaliating in that way was not a good thing to do. And I was deeply, deeply distressed in my own behavior and response, because I knew that it's the enemy that is seeking to drive division in families. That's not what God wants. So I left the room and I began to sob really bitter tears. And I went to bed and I prayed and I sought God and asked for his forgiveness. But I knew in my heart that yes, I could ask God for forgiveness, but I needed to ask my brother-in-law as well. So in the morning, when I got up and went downstairs, and I was in the kitchen and he came downstairs, he came into the kitchen and he said, "About last night." And then we both put our arms around each other and said sorry at the same time. And I said, "Let there not be any enmity in between us. The Lord is good, and his word is truth. It is health to our bones and to our flesh." And Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." On the night before Jesus died, Judas Iscariot was reclining at the table with Jesus, and he'd shared food with him, and yet his heart was full of bitterness and resentment. But Jesus didn't display hostility towards Judas. Quite the contrary. Scripture tells us that Jesus got up after dinner, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into the basin, and took the disciples' feet and washed them. Jesus knelt down in an amazing act of love and humility and washed the feet of Judas. Can you imagine that? I wonder what thoughts went through Judas's mind as he witnessed Jesus performing this act of service. Whatever the emotions and the inner thoughts, we know that he got up from the table and he went to betray Jesus. Yet when Jesus saw him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he greeted Judas as a close friend. There was no hatred or animosity. We know that this led to Jesus being arrested and eventually crucified. And the Gospel of Luke records in chapter 23, verse 34, the account of Jesus hanging from the cross, having been beaten so much that his face was unrecognizable. His flesh was torn apart and bleeding. And yet, he would not yield to anything except the Father's will. And as the crowds mocked and jeered, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Such love. This was expressed because God doesn't want heaven without us. And we are followers of Jesus, and we're called and instructed to do as he did, expressing love in action. Love that puts other people first. Love that would rather give than receive. Love that understands and forgives. There was a movie made in the year 2000 about a teacher that challenged children in the class to think of an idea that would change the world for the better. And the children were asked to put their ideas into action. And one of the children came up with an idea of paying it forward. Paying forward favours instead of paying them back. Doing a kind deed for somebody. You pay it forward to two or three people rather than paying back the one person that's done you a good deed. So it's simple things like you could buy a cup of coffee for the next two people in the queue after you at Costa Coffee or wherever it is. Or you could, while you're mowing your lawn, mow your neighbour's lawn as well. Or if it's raining and somebody's without an umbrella, you could lend them your umbrella. Small actions that can have a huge impact on somebody else. The film was called Pay It Forward, and there are still some places that have an annual Pay It Forward Day. The idea is simple, but the ripple effects are tremendous. Doing a random act of kindness for someone who doesn't expect to receive anything in return. The ultimate Pay It Forward was carried out by Jesus over 2,000 years ago. He freely gave up his life in exchange for ours. We receive his free gift of freedom, of separation from God. On the night he shared the Last Supper with his close friends, Jesus performed the selfless act of love, washing the feet of his friends. And God's love is that free gift, paid forward by Jesus to anyone and everyone who chooses to receive it. So you might consider doing a pay it forward act, and you might consider paying it forward in terms of telling somebody of that free gift which is just waiting for them to collect. Amen.